dreams of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
To share with you this morning, we've already heard it in song from that lovely song from Esther Mui in John 14, and I'm calling our teaching this evening the root of our love. The root of our love, and I'm taking this from John 14 and verses 15 through to 18 of the Gospel of John, 14, verses 15 through to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A very, very encouraging passage here, but one that is vital, and one that is really the acid test, because this is the exposure to those who truly are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ and those who are not. And this is why I'm calling this teaching this evening the root of our love, because this is where our love is going to be perfected. And the root of our love could only happen if he abides with us forever. Not just in this world, he says, but forever. And this has to be ministered to us by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that is why it says, doesn't it, in 1 John 4, that is where we are to test the spirits. We are to test spiritually a situation, a ministry, a person or a Christian who calls themselves what they do. That is where you wait on the testing, because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is the one who reproduces God's love in our lives and hearts. But he isn't going to reproduce that against our wills, against our rebellion or our unbelief. And this is why salvation is a two-way thing. God has equipped, he has provided everything, and at Calvary, but we move forward and appropriate and allow him to do that work. This is why our wills have to be surrendered to Almighty God. It is that placing of ourselves upon the altar. And the signs of that in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we know well, is that my life does not belong to me anymore. I surrender my entire being, that is my heart ultimately, upon that altar, for him to do whatever he sees necessary. And even that takes the power of the Holy Spirit in which to work that within our hearts. Because ultimately, the test, the working that God is working in our hearts is the root of love, his love, that agape love. And love works with faith, and faith works with love. You cannot separate any of this. And so he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he knows that human nature will not keep the commandments of God unless the love of God is being worked within our hearts. It's not going to happen, because the only way we keep his commandments is by the fact that we love him and that he loves us, because that is what love does. Love will surrender all. Love will not put any conditions or any barriers. That is agape love. Whereas the other loves, eros, philia, love, there are conditions attached to that love. But that is not the love that God is perfecting in our hearts. The love he's perfecting in our hearts is a sacrificial love. A love that if it were called for, we would lay our lives down for the brethren. It is the same love that Jesus was moved and motivated by, which is the same love that he's working in and through us. That is what the deeper life in the Spirit is about. It's a deeper life in the Spirit, experiencing that deeper, everlasting love that is found in the Father. And that love is no different to the love that the Father had for his Son, that he has for us through Jesus Christ. Because we are one with him, one with the Godhead. Therefore, our experience of him is the same experience ministered by the Spirit to us also. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's ultimately the work God is doing with the overcomers. So that we don't question, we don't argue, we surrender to the will and the principle of God's word. And we allow him to do that work. The problem is that we still have to have an emotion or a feeling in which we'll obey. But very often the sacrifice of obedience is when you don't feel like doing it. When you feel you haven't got any more faith left. So often they are the conditions in which he works that in and through us. Could it be that we need to let go of what we think and term is God's love? Let go so that that true love, his love, can start to channel through us? It's certainly a good question. And yet we still look for that filial love, because it's a love where I can put conditions to it if I'm not loved back. And we still do it, and we still fall for that trickery of the enemy. But that is what's being crucified. That is what's being put to death. So that this love, the love of the Father, the same love that Jesus walked with his Father, is the same love he's putting in us and the overcoming church in these last days. Otherwise, it will not work. And we will not have the root of his love. Because Jesus said, by the love, the fruit of the Spirit, you will know them. God's love doesn't talk about that love. God's love lives it and acts it. And there's the difference. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. And so he clearly says, as we read here, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So he's already said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He then goes on to say, I will do something about that, because that humanly is impossible. It cannot be done. And so he says, for this to be done, to love me and keep my commandments, he says, I will pray the Father, and the Father never denies Jesus. He will always give that which he asks, and indeed, he has asked for this. This was part of his prayer, his intercession. So we can be well assured this prayer has been answered over the church and over your life and my life. We don't doubt it. And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper. And that is what this is all about. It's as we let go, the helper then can start to take over. And we're all of us going through trials, and many of those trials are so designed by the love of God to get you to let go. So the helper from the Father, given through Jesus to us, can take over. Because you can't do it. I can't do it. And there's no revelation to that. The gospel cannot be walked, proclaimed, lived, unless the helper takes over. He moves alongside. He doesn't literally take over so you sit back and do nothing. That is not the idea of the helper. The helper comes and moves alongside. We work together at it. The idea of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life means where you lean against a wall, you put your weight against that wall, knowing that that wall can hold you and it won't collapse. Exactly the same with probably the chairs you're all sitting on this evening. You know that that chair you sit on holds your weight. And that is the idea of the helper in our lives. You see, Jesus is soon to leave this world. And this is the doorway into the tabernacle through his flesh. And he reveals he is coming for them, coming for us. How often does it seem he has left us? But he says he's coming back quite clearly in here. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And so the helper has come so that we're not illegitimate, but that we're orphans, the redeemed. We're waiting for his manifestation, and until then, the helper is there leading and guiding us. And the helper is the one that's causing us to look away from this world, to look to the one with all our eyes and heart and being who is soon to come for his overcomers. That, I believe, is the work of the Holy Spirit now. He's drawing us away. Is this your experience? Do you know this to be happening in your life? Or not? Or are you still too in love with this world that if he comes, you're going to miss it? because you won't see him. You're too involved with the world and what it has to offer. Again, only the Helper, the Holy Spirit, can change these attitudes, motives in our heart. But I am picking up what the Holy Spirit is saying, for we are to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church or churches. And there's a greater emphasis coming now of looking away. Don't look anymore to this world and what it has to offer. Allow the Holy Spirit to change your heart and affections, because it could mean you may not go up in that rapture. And who wants to be left behind? Don't think that FGA is exempt of all of this. The very fact that God is bringing this up tonight, he's trying to get our attention in this. And so he has come as the Helper. He has come as a new tabernacle. We can now go through his flesh into the holies of holies. He's come to live, to dwell, reside in us. We're living, walking tabernacles, witnesses of what? God's love. That's what we're witnesses to in this world. Not by how much scripture we know, or what gifts I have in the Holy Spirit, or how often I pray. All of that has a point, don't get me wrong. But no, the ultimate is the love of God revealed to this world. And that love will be put to the test. You may literally be smote on one side of the face and to turn your cheek for the other as well. That could happen. Instead of running off and running to the police or suing them, which is what the world does, and sadly what a lot of professing Christians do. Our love will be put to the test. Otherwise, how do we know it's genuine otherwise? And when you find your love is being put to the test, you will find the Helper is there, helping you, sustaining you, keeping your heart, your emotions, keeping that resentment and anger, criticism at bay. That's his job. Because he knows what it's like in the flesh, having walked it himself. And so, as we see, if you love me, then another Helper has to put this within us. We know this, for example, in John 13, verses 34, 35. John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That is how the world knows. And you don't have to work at advertising that. The Helper who's come into your life, the Holy Spirit, he will work that. He'll emulate that for the glory of God. And indeed he does. We saw it. Let's turn also to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we're told that the nature of his commandments is not a burden, but it should be a joy to those who walk with the Lord. That's why he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, only God can do that. So this isn't a burden. This isn't something that cannot be achieved or done. In fact, as we obey God, you're going to experience from time to time the Father's pleasure over your life. You will experience it. You will know it. You will know that He's pleased with that surrender, that obedience, that yielding to the Spirit. And the more you experience that, the more you will want to do it. Because love is the motivation force. That is the force that is behind it. It's not about I have to obey. And this is where the enemy oppresses. It's because love does that. Love wants to do that. And there's the difference. And God is working that in our hearts. Because otherwise, brothers and sisters, it won't work. And very often, we hold on and don't let go is because we don't want to obey. And yet that's the very means of God manifesting Himself through us, is as we let go. Hallelujah. And so, in verse 16, we see here Jesus prays to the Father for this. You are the answer to His prayers. That is why we're here tonight. That is why this message is being preached to us, because we are the answer to His prayers. Hallelujah. And He says, doesn't He, that in there I give you another helper. Now, we've been speaking about this. It simply means a comforter, which we know. We also get the idea from this, than that word advocate. Again, it's the idea of an advocate is like a lawyer that goes to court and represents your case. And so this is the idea of what God is doing. And this is why Jesus intercedes. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is all the while in intercession, dealing with our case, bringing it before the court. And we know that God will always answer that. Whatever Jesus asks of the Father, it will be given. And that is how your faith, your prayers are answered. Because that is what He's done before the throne of mercy and grace. Isn't it a wonderful analogy? And so here we see that the Comforter has come. We see the Godhead in perfect harmony and unity with this love that can only happen when we are one with Him. This love that we speak of, the root of our love, can only be when we are one with Him. And that is what this is about. And if we are one with Him, He's going to work this and work this and work this for His glory. And this is why we're being changed from glory unto glory unto glory. It's a working in this life. In other words, it's bringing the flesh under conformity to the will of God. That is the ultimate working. And it can only be done through this Comforter, the one who has come to take over in your life and my life. It's interesting, in Greek, this word, as we know, is called the Paraclete or Parakletos. And I said this earlier, but I want to emphasize this more. It is one called alongside to help, or a counsellor. You know, people go for counselling today, for help. So we have that with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who's going to help us in our deliverances, help us where we are battling, we are finding it difficult, or we can't love as God wants us to love, or I'm finding it difficult to forgive that person for what they did to me. He is the counselor. He is the one. But you've got to make yourself available. You've got to come before him on his conditions. And one of his conditions is most certainly humble yourself, keep quiet, and let him speak and let him do that work. We're all too quick to come before God and get it out how we feel and everything, and we think that's it. It isn't. So often it's coming before God and waiting on him to listen to what he has to say. Yes, get it off your chest, but then wait. Wait on him, because he's going to speak, he's going to minister. This is why you go to counsellors. You go to counsellors, and very often they will ask you questions first, and then they will assess it, assimilate it, and they will come back with an idea. Well, we do exactly the same with God. And yet we're too busy, or we're not going to wait for him to speak, or whatever it is. That's pride. If we really want these changes in our lives, we're going to wait on him. This is why we make much about the school of waiting, which is what the Christian walk is about. It's so that we can hear what the Holy Spirit, or the counselor, the one that's come to move alongside, has to say, and how this can be achieved, how you can receive your healing and your deliverance and so forth. A lot of deliverances don't happen because we don't wait on God. It is the same with healing. You come before God, you talk about your healing, and you wait on him so that he will minister from the throne of grace. Will he deny you? Of course he won't. He knows exactly what you're going through. But we have to be attuned to the Holy Spirit, the one who has come on our behalf to take over. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about. A healthy Christian is one who is hearing from God and hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, both to the church and to my life, because we give time for him in which to do this. This is why the enemy tries to get us to be so busy and caught up with so many things. He's a master at doing this, because he fears this. Satan fears this message tonight that's bringing deliverance to those who are listening with their heart. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want the church in true love and unity and oneness. If he can keep it divided, he is happy. And so we get this idea, he is the indwelling paraclete to help our weaknesses, our infirmities, to make intercessors out of us. In other words, overcomers. He's the one that's come to make us overcomers. That's the revelation of this walk for the last day, for the bride to make herself ready. His presence in us is the proof of it. Here it is, Romans 8:26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, he's there taking over. He's moved alongside so that we can start praying in the Spirit the perfect will of God to be accomplished. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So because he's making intercessions himself on behalf of you, here's this idea of the lawyer going in, representing you, representing your case. So by the Spirit, he does the same. But he wants you to know that. He wants you to experience it. There's no point him doing that if you've got no time for it. Or you're not in tune. You're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're not yielded as a disciple. What would be the point of all of this? We have to make ourselves available for this to be accomplished in our lives. It's called consecration. It's called separation. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We're still touching unclean things, and it hinders. I honestly think some of you have got to come to the end of yourself where you put your hands up and say, I can't walk this anymore. And if you stay with it, thank God, then there's a start. You're letting go. And God then can start to take over. I came to that place years ago. I raised my hand. I can't walk this anymore. It's impossible. I don't even think my affections, my heart is in this anymore. And that's what scares me. But God was getting me to the end of myself, getting that religion, that deception out of me, deceiving myself. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I'm still on a journey like you are. I'm simply giving you my experience. What does it say in verse 34? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us, that we don't give up. We stay with it. We endure to the end. That's what he's praying. Because it's about his glory. How about Hebrews chapter 7? Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. And it goes on, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. And it goes on, and he's ever doing this on our behalf. Again, the counselor, the Prince of Peace, is doing that on your behalf, my behalf. Well, looking back then at John 14, he says, doesn't he, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. this truth has to be revealed, because the world doesn't see it, nor can it receive it, because it is a gift. Salvation is a gift. You only see tonight because it has been revealed to you, it has been given to you as a gift. And we will have eternity in which to praise and thank our God for that. We still yet don't fully understand and appreciate just what is being said here. But he will reveal it. And this is where we give him all the praise and all the glory. For example, in John 16, verse 13. In John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So through the corridors of time, through the church's history up until to now, now today, this moment, it clearly says he has been speaking and revealing what is to come. And he, but whatever he hears, he will speak, he will tell you. So as an intercessor, a high priest, he hears from the Father, and he tells you, he tells this church, he's telling us tonight through even this teaching, what he has heard from the Father that we have need of hearing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it wonderful? That we can be so attuned, so close to God, that we can get it fresh, that manna, this day. This word today is the manna that we need. Yes, you can listen to it tomorrow. You can listen to it next month, next year. We have it on, it goes out on the internet, but the freshness of the manna is today. That is always the principle. Because it has come from the Father to us. Revealed to us by the Spirit. And the world cannot see him nor know him, because he now manifests himself in and through us. Because the tabernacle has now changed. You are the living tabernacles. And his presence is in each of us. And that is why we're called high priests. That is why we're called saints. And that is why he's bringing our whole complete being of body, soul, spirit under the will and dominion of the Holy Spirit. And he's working that. And he will work that if we stay with it and it's what we want. And so the world no longer can see or hear any of that, but it can see in the church, through us, the love of God. Because the love of God can never be hid. It is so great, it is so powerful, it is so strong. But the things that God is doing in the way of teaching, how he's getting us to that goal, the world doesn't see that. The world doesn't see the work that is going on in your life and my life representing that love. They don't understand that. It's not revealed to them. They don't understand the work of the cross. They don't understand that you have to have a new nature. You have to be born again. They're simply seeing the results of that work, which is God's love. But that is enough, the Lord says, to influence the remnant that he still has until the last very Gentile is saved. And then Jesus returns. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. The promises here is he will come for us. Why? Because we cannot be separated from him. That's why. You, as the Godhead cannot be separated, so neither can you be separated from the love of God. And that is why the Comforter comes to comfort us in that, to encourage us in that, to show us the reality, the truth of that, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, as the Word says. And these aren't simply words. This is to be experienced. It's to be our life, our thinking, our faith, our hope, our motivation, our all. Nothing separates me from God. And that is why the enemy tries to work fear. Because that fear, those fiery darts of fear, try to question the love of God, try to reveal, well, I'm not really one with him as yet, but I'm going to be. It's always with Satan, he'll allow you to think, I'm going to be. That's his lie. The Bible says, you are, now. Everything with God is now, you are. The reason we wait for things is because of us, flesh, getting in the way. The manifestation of the sons of God is, it is there, it is done. We are manifested, we are the sons of God. For the actual visible manifestation, it's flesh that hinders that. But he's dealing with the flesh. And do you know what it's called? The cross. And that's what deals with this, that hinders this all from manifesting. Because the next joy to take place is the first fruits are to be placed upon the altar of God. So the promise is he will come for us because we cannot be separated from him. Even though we have the Comforter, it isn't enough for eternity and living and dwelling with him forever. The Comforter is simply the one for this world. The gifts, speaking in tongues, is all going to pass away. But it is there as a means for us to be perfected in Christ's image. So that is their work, and that is why he's come in which to do that. And finally, John chapter 14 and verse 3. John 14 and verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What is the promise there? Several things. First, he says, I prepare a place for you. We get the understanding of a type of arboretum. So it's going to be something absolutely wonderful. You won't even be able to put words into it, what he's done to prepare a place for you. And everything that he prepares for you will be tailor-made. It's like, you know, when somebody buys you something, and sometimes you get those rare gifts where you, when you have it, you say, how did you know? How did you know that I wanted that? That is almost perfect, what you have given. There are rare gifts that are given like that sometimes. Well, it's just infinitely more with our Lord. Everything, that place that he's prepared for you, for me, is absolutely perfect and tailor-made. Nothing will be a disappointment. It will be absolute perfection. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's going to dwell in our midst. He's going to be there also in that magnificent abode. So it's not as though we're going to just have a place and be separate from him. Never. That place is also him as well, because you can't separate any of it. If you love someone, then you want to be with that person. If you love someone, you never want to be separated. This is why it's so wrenching when we lose a loved one. You feel sometimes a part of you dies when they die. But all of that is going to be washed away. None of that will be experienced anymore, because we're going to be with him. And this is why this is the root of our love. Your love and obedience for God is very much instrumental on the fact that nothing separates you from him, and where you are going, you are going to be with him throughout eternity. So I suggest to you, you need to be really, really in love with him, because that's going to be an eternal experience. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work that love for your brother and sister, because I've got news for you, you're going to live in eternity with them. Now, you know whether the thought of that is horrendous, or the thought of that is, praise God, yes, Lord, bring it on. I want to live in eternity with my brother, my sister, all those that I'm identified with in the body of Christ. I will take joy and pleasure being with them in unbroken fellowship throughout eternity. Is that what you want? Only you can answer that. Because the root of all of this is love. And if you're not sure, then you have time to get it right, to allow the comfort of the Holy Spirit to work this in your heart. Because we're not far away from all of this. We are seeing the falling away now. We are experiencing this last lap of the race. And God is speaking to us now on another level that we have not heard like this 10, 20 years ago. And it's because he loves us.
Love me.
with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you the world.